All right, who's ready to hear the Word of God this morning? Okay. This is February the 26th. Wow, almost heading into the third month. It's incredible how time flies, eh? And we've been doing this series, and this is the last message of our series. Does anybody remember what our series is called? What's it called? Who said that? Marie, thank you. Better Together. Yeah, we're talking about being better together. So let's bow our heads and let's ask God's blessing on His Word today. Thank you, Father. Father, I love that song we sang. We just invited the Holy Spirit to come. And we said, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I want to say that again. Holy Spirit, you truly are welcome here. If we don't have your presence here, Lord, all we have is a dry coming together. But when your presence is here, Lord, it becomes very special. And I just really know that when we preach the Word of God and you anoint the Word of God, it becomes like that double-edged sword that penetrates past just the mind, but gets deep into the heart. So let the Word of God get deep into the heart. Let us hear the Word with and combine it with faith so that it not just blesses us, it blesses you and glorifies your name. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Long prayer for a short message. It might be short. We never know. Okay, so the title of my message is Developing Great Relationships. Something happened on it. It was kind of set up, but it's called Developing Great Relationships, Meaningful Relationships. You know, one thing I realized as a church, as we look back on the history of our church, even looking back 5 years, even looking back just even 2 years, one thing I've realized is this, is that we have changed. The church, as a church, we have changed. Think about the changes that have been made. You know, the atmosphere of our church is different. The atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere is different. The physical atmosphere, you know, in the sanctuary is different. The lighting is different. We have a beautiful cross that's now backlit now, you know, and we got a new sound system, so the sound is better. The music is fresh and the songs are new. We're not singing the same old songs that we sang 10 years ago. Aren't you glad? You know, some of the old songs are great, but we're singing new songs. The new ministries have been formed in City Light. We're reaching more people through meeting the needs of people in our community. New ministries. New kids have come to City Light, you know, and lots of kids have come. New people have come. Changes have been made. And here's the thing about changes. We're gonna keep on changing. Why do we keep on changing? We keep on changing because we want to stay relevant to every generation. Amen? We want to stay relevant to every generation. Now the message doesn't ever change. The gospel never changes. It always stays the same. But the method, the way we present the gospel, needs to change because the world around us, culture is changing so much. And our job here at City Light is to make sure that the message doesn't get buried and doesn't get compromised because of cultural preferences, right? And we're here to make sure that the message transcends the barriers of culture and society, and that we stay current in every generation. See, we don't want to get stuck in grandpa's church in the 80s. I mean, it's so outdated you can't relate anymore, right? We want to change it. We want the kids and the grandkids to want to come to church, right? That's what we want. We want to create a culture that is relevant to people today. You know, and we strongly believe in this. We strongly believe that we need to change as the Holy Spirit asks us and urges us and exhorts us to change. We want to change. And we strongly believe we need to keep on changing. And we also believe that some things are absolutely crucial to the life of our church. And you know what one of those are? One of those things are? It's called community. Community. We want to make sure that as we grow bigger, that we don't lose that sense of community and that connection and belonging and relationship. We don't want to lose that value. Last week or a couple of weeks ago, I give you this quote that said these words. Church, it talks about church. Church is not just a place that we attend, but it's a community, it's a family that we belong to. So we want to keep reminding people as they come to Christ that they need to have a deeper relationship with Christ, with Jesus. But they also need to have a relationship with God's people, with one another. We believe that every person is formed for God's family. And we believe that every person is created for community. And so, in other words, every person is to be connected relationally. Every person is to be connected relationally. If you're going to be strong, if you're going to be healthy, if you're going to grow, and then, or if you even going to, if you want to fulfill the very purpose of your life, then we need to be connected. We need to recognize that we must be connected to the family of God. Amen. Whether you're a single person, or whether you're a married couple, whether you're a family, we must be connected with the family of God. Could I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, you're following it. I thought I'd left you somewhere else there because I didn't hear any amens going. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, which says, you are members of God's very own what? Family, citizens of God's country. And you what? Belong, underscore that word. You belong to God's household with every other Christian. So the scripture is telling us here, church is not just a place to attend, but it's a household, it's a community, it's a family that you belong to, right? You belong. Can you just turn to the person next to you and say, you belong? You belong. You belong. Now say it to yourself, I belong. I belong. Okay. James chapter 3 verse 18 says, we can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results. Praise God. James is saying, we really actually can create this incredible community where we just love on each other, we take care of each other, and we're just blessed by each other, we're blessed by God through each other. We can create this robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results. But there's another part to that scripture. It says, only if you do the what? Hard work of getting along with each other. Wow. It's not easy to live in community, is it? It's not easy to have great relationship. You have to what? You gotta work at it. You gotta work hard at getting along with each other and treating each other with dignity and honor. Wow. You know, I think about myself. You know, I'm not by nature a social person. You know, I'm okay just getting along alone by myself. So I have to really work at building relationships. But one thing I realized, the longer I live, the more I realize how valuable relationships are. Relationships are the gold in your life that you have to mine. You have to work at relationships. I have to work hard at keeping long-term relationships. And I have to work at connectivity with people. People. You know, we have this saying, years ago we used to say it as pastors, church would be great if it wasn't for the people. But really, you know, church is great because of the people, right? You know, and think about even Moses. I'm thinking about Moses. Even Moses in Exodus, he complained to God about people. He said one day, God, the people, they're just obstinate and just stubborn. And they're angry at me and they want to stone me. And then God turned to Moses and said, Moses, I give you these people to lead them and to love them and not to leave them. Amen. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, as a pastor, as a leader, well, that's my job. It's my job is to love people, is to love you guys, and to lead people that God brings to me, brings to us. That's our job. But when I think about it, you know what? But wait a minute. But God says in His Word that we're all to love one another. We're to serve one another. We're to all to look after the interests of other people. So He's saying, wait a minute. It's not just me. It's everyone. We're all called to love each other, right? It's not just my job. It's your job. Can you say it's my job? It's my job. There, you just took ownership of it. That's great. Acts chapter 2 says that day, about 3,000 took him at his word and were baptized. Who is he? That's Peter. Peter was preaching the word of God. This is in Acts chapter 2. And it was called the day of Pentecost. And if you read that story, the fire of the Holy Spirit showed up and people were filled and baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that day, people, 3,000 believed in him and were baptized and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they signed up and it says they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the communion meal and the prayer. So they committed them. It says right here, they committed themselves to do life together, to do life together. And that's great. And that's what they did. They were a model. On that day, the church was born. It started with 3,000 people. Well, it started with about 40, 50 people praying. And then, boom, Peter preached and 3,000 were added to the church that day. And that was the beginning of the early church. And they did life together. And if you read the rest of Acts chapter 2, they shared life, they helped each other, they helped feed each other, they fellowshiped, they encouraged each other every single day. And the community around of unbelievers saw what was going on and they wanted in. And many, many people got saved because they saw the way that they did life together, right? And so the question is, how do we do that today? How do we do life together today? How do we accomplish that today? You know, it's true. Modern technology has really affected the way we connect with one another, the way people relate to one another. And I read this article about how modern technology has greatly changed the way we do life, the way we call it connectivity. And I'll just give you a list of just a few of them. One of the technological inventions that changed the way people related was the garage door opener. The garage door opener, right? You know, it used to be, in the 40s, 50s, I don't know what age, when that door opener was actually invented, but people would have to drive up in front of their house, right? Park their car on the roadway, get onto the sidewalk, and then walk all the way up the path to their homes. But while they're on the, getting out of the car and on the sidewalk, they would meet people that were walking by. They would meet their neighbors as they were walking towards their house, and they would meet them and greet them and get to know what they were doing. And they were interacting with one another, right? But as soon as that garage door opener came, that kind of just stopped, right? I know today I can just drive up to my house half a block away. I can hit the button and the door's already open and I just drive right in and the door closes and I don't even have to give a nod or even a smile to anybody else. It's changed the way that people connect. Right? And here's another one. Entertainment. Entertainment has greatly changed the way that we connect. You know, today we have large screen TVs and people don't have to go out to get entertained. They just sit in front of the big screen TV, right? I'm not going to ask how big is your TV screen. But you know, think about it. Big, large screen TVs, video games, Xboxes. You know, it used to be in the old days, kids had to go and find other kids in order to play, right? Now they don't have to. They can just sit online and play with somebody right across the other side of the world. You know, it's changed. Entertainment has changed the way we do life and connection. The internet has really changed connectivity. You know, here's the question. You want to know something? You know, what do? If you want to know something, what do? You Google it, right? You Google it. And it's true. We don't have to go and make an appointment to see anybody and talk to anybody. You know, you don't have to talk to anyone about anything. All you have to do is Google it. You know, so internet has changed. You know, internet church has changed the lives of many people. I mean, you can sit in front of your TV and have church without even getting out of your jammies, right? You know, and then of course the obvious one, Facebook has changed the way people do relationships. It's been dubbed as having sometimes pseudo relationships through Facebook. You know, these are just some of the ways, but these and all these other inventions have changed the way that we connect, right? And these inventions, these modern things, they're not bad in themselves. We can actually thank God for them. I mean, they are very useful to us. But the question is, how do we connect? How do we create great relationships? How do we create meaningful relationships? How do we do that? And how do we create opportunities for people to come to Christ? And now, how do we get over this awkwardness of trying to get people to connect with people, right? So how do we do that? Well, you know, every Sunday morning, and we just did it, we have this time called meet and greet. Meet and greet. Now, meet and greet time sometimes is very uncomfortable for people. So that's why we keep it to about 60 seconds, or actually down to about 30 seconds, right? I say, you got 30 seconds to meet and greet somebody. And for some people, it's a very uncomfortable time. But you know, you have to get a bit uncomfortable in order to move ahead into community, don't you? You know, getting uncomfortable is good for us, isn't it? I heard a few amens. Let's have a poll. Who likes the meet and greet time? No, we won't do that. We want you to meet more people. Remember the first time you ever came to church? Do you remember that? How did you feel? Wow, it was kind of scary. Everything was new, right? People were new. The atmosphere was new. The air smelled different. Now we have a coffee bar. Smells way better, you know? So everything is new. So the question is, how do we continue to be that warm, inviting, friendly church? How do we do that? You know, so it can be a problem. You know, it can be a problem in big churches. It's often a problem in big churches. It can be a problem in small churches too as well. See, I know you can go to a small church where everybody sort of gets together in their holy huddles, and you can be feel like the outsider coming in, and it's like they look at you and say, like, who invited you here, right? And often people can feel that way. So what do we do? What do we do as a church? Here's some of the things that we do. We say, welcome, come to the welcome lounge. So if you're a new person here and you want to know about City Light, go to the welcome lounge. Sitting right, there's a big sign there, welcome lounge. We can meet some friendly people. You can ask questions too. You can ask them anything about church and life, and they'll try to give you the answer, right? That's one of the things we do. And then we also say, go to the info desk. Go to the connections info desk, and you can learn about the ministries and ways you can sign up to volunteer for different things, and the small groups that meet and the times, and you can find all that information. Another thing we say is join a team. If you want to get to know people in our church family, join a team. Join a ministry team. Paul said in the book of Acts that his best friends were companions in ministry. They were friends because they ministered together. And they had the best friendships because of that. Another thing we say, join a team, serve, volunteer. And of course, we say, join a small group. How many times do you hear that saying, join a small group? You know, and I realize some people find it hard to join a small group. And I can see that because when you join a small group, you find that you're kind of the odd guy there. Everybody knows each other, but now you're trying to get to know everybody else. So I want to say this. It's not easy to get involved. It's not easy to get involved. But as a church, as City Light Church, we are taking the steps to make it easier, right? And more, and I think about our church, more and more, I realize that we are moving into greater community. You know, I can just sense that. I see that in our small groups, and I get together with the men. The men love to come to get together. And the, you know, I thought we got to be out of here in an hour. And we're there till at least 9 or sometimes even 9:30 before we get out of here. But it's all about the fact that people love, and the guys love to get together to be in community. But, you know, that's great where we are right now. But I believe that God wants us to be a bigger church that's living in the context of community. And there's the thing about community, it just doesn't happen on its own. We've got to push into community, right? We've got to push ourselves into community. You know, right now, we're sitting in lines. We're sitting in lines, right? And this the best way for us to do a Sunday morning service is to have people sitting in lines and rows. But, this is on your PowerPoint, but real community doesn't happen in lines. What does it happen in? Circles. You probably heard that before. Life happens in circles, right? So sometimes we just got to get past the place where we're always sitting in lines and start to get into circles, right? And not only just get into circles, we got to get into circles with the right people, right? The right people. Because the people that you hang with will greatly impact your life, whether it's for better or for worse. Listen to what Proverbs 13:20 says. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. You know? So our job here is to help people find meaningful relationships that help them in life. That's our job. Our job is to help you connect with people. And we want people to want to be part of a church that's reaching out to lost people and bringing them to church. See, we want you to become a bringer, because it's true. You know, you can relate to people, you can begin to share your faith with them, but when you bring them into the house of God, where the presence of God is and the Spirit of God is, their hearts are just, they just seem to be open to be touched. Have you experienced that? I say, you bring them to church and God is going to save them, right? And I'll pray for them too as well. But God wants us to be bringers, and we want to help people to find new friends, friends, because many people, especially just after they receive Jesus, will give up on their old relationships, and they need to find new friends. And we want to help you to find new friends. Amen? You know, maybe you're someone that's sitting here right now and you think, you know what? Pastor, I've heard this message before, and I got my one friend, and I'm cool, I'm okay. I got my one friend, I got my two or three acquaintances, I'm doing okay. But, you know, can I say to you, do you have those friends? Do you have those friends that God called you to do life with? Do you have that friend that God wants to bring into your life that hasn't come into your life right now? You know, one new friend in your life can literally impact your life in such a way it can totally change your life and your future. Amen? So be open to the new friend that God wants to bring into your life. I want you to just listen or just watch this this video. It's all about life groups. So can you give that a try?
We have fallen down again tonight. In this world, it's hard to get it right. Trying to make your heart feel like a glove. What it needs is love, love, love. Everybody, everybody wants to love. Everybody, everybody wants to be loved. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Everybody, everybody wants to love. Everybody, everybody wants to be loved. Oh,
amen. It's all about doing life together, right? I'm going to finish the message off by giving you three things that I believe that people need to have in order to have great relationships, meaningful relationships. You can write these down. Number one, first thing that people need is acceptance. Acceptance. When people come into this place, into church, the first question that's going through their head, is, will I be accepted here? Will I be accepted here? When people come in, remember that first time that you came in, you were new. And maybe you didn't even know the Bible. You didn't know what the Bible said. And you had your hang-ups, and people have their hang-ups, they have their hurts, they feel down on themselves, and they feel totally out of place. So one of my goals, and one of our goals as a church, is this, that we want you as a church to be open and to be accepting of all kinds of people from different walks, different race, different, even different religions, right? And if we think about that early church that I just talked about when Peter preached that word, when that early church was formed, it was kind of like we are today. It was full of all kinds of different people, different nations, different countries, different languages, different colors. You know what? And that church was God's glorious church. And they were better together. Amen? And today, the church that God is building right here at City Light is better together because we're different, right? Not because we're the same. So we need to say amen to that. We say praise God for that. It's good that we are better together. And that's one of our goals, is we want you to accept people, all backgrounds, races, religions, because we want to create bridges and not walls. Amen? Let's create the bridges to people. And you know, there's one thing I know for sure, that when people come into church, into our church, immediately, they're going to have the sense that they're either accepted or they're not accepted. Right? Are these people accepting me for the way I am? Just the way I am. And if they don't feel that, they're not going to come back. And we want people to feel accepted. Amen? Acceptance is so crucial and for community. Number two, connection. Connections. We're always saying this, connect. Get a bit uncomfortable. Meet each other, greet each other, sit down and talk with each other. You know, go out for coffee for each other, have lunch together, serve together, you know, encourage each other. Do all these things together. And with not just people who are like you, with all kinds of people, with the people that God brings into our church family. Connect with one another. Just because somebody's a different color can't mean you can't connect with them and relate to them, right? Don't be afraid to cross those barriers and connect with anyone that God brings here. And make friends. Make friends with all the people that God brings here. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 16. It says, bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. It says, laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. In other words, when you're happy, celebrate. When you got good things happening in life, take the time to celebrate together. Share tears when they're down. When you're going through tough times, comfort each other. You know, pray for one another. Get along with each other and don't be stuck up. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with who? Nobodies, right? Don't be the great somebody. Make friends. Make friends. Every person, I said, needs to be connected relationally, right? So I'm saying get out of the lines, get into the circles, have the courage to connect. Have some courage, right? And allow yourself to be a bit uncomfortable. It's good to be uncomfortable because you change when you're out of your comfort zone. And I say this, join a small group. Join a small group. Why? Because big things happen in small groups. There's another plug for small groups. Okay, one more. Investments. You want to have meaningful relationships? Investments. You got to invest in people. I say investing in people is like investing in finances, right? You know, some investments have better returns than other investments do, right? Some have rapid growth, some have slow growth, some have no growth. So what do you do? If you're a wise investor, what do? You what? It's called, it starts with a D. You diversify. You diversify. Because not all of them are going to work out well, right? And it's like investing in people. You know, some people that you begin to invest in and having a relationship with, they're going to disappoint you. You know, they might take advantage of you. They might let you down, you know, and they might even hurt you. But I want to say this, not all relationships are going to work out. But don't allow those relationships that don't work out well to stop you, to discourage you from investing in future relationships. Amen? Don't allow that. And I see so many people, they get hurt, they just withdraw, and they say, I'm not going to have any more relationships because I don't want to be hurt. But God wants to give grace to you, wants to heal you, and gives you more relationships, because they are, like I said, they're the gold of your life. Amen? So like finances, keep on investing. And don't ever stop investing the seed of harvesting in people Because there's this law of the harvest that promises that if you keep investing, you will have more people than ever to do life with and to help you to become successful, because you are an investor, a relational investor. Amen? Keep on investing in people. When you think about Jesus himself, Jesus ministered to thousands of people, right? But he chose 12 guys and he did life with them. And that's what we're about as a church. You know, I believe in mega churches. I believe in people coming to church on every Sunday. And it's great to fill the seats and the rows and have hundreds and thousands of people. But you know, what God really wants is community to develop within the people, right? We want a church. We want a church that grows. But here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask something special of the church today. And maybe this isn't something special. This is something that God wants all of us to get involved in. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Can you help us with community? Can you help us with community? Can you help us create community, greater community in the life of our church? Can you help our church to grow bigger and smaller at the same time? Can you help us to love people when they come? Can you help us to care for people? Can you do that? You know, you think about Jesus. I said Jesus ministered to thousands, but he did life with 12 guys, right? And that's who we are. You know, that's who we are as a church. We're into community. Amen? You know, like I said, the culture, you know, often fights against community and closeness and relationships today. But we are determined in this one area to not allow the culture and the barriers of culture, you know, to affect the way that we do and have community the way Jesus wants us to have with one another. Amen? So can I finish by saying this? Let's do community. And let's do it for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. So, Father in heaven, like I said, Father, we don't ever want to allow the culture to dilute community the way you want us to live, Lord. You see that picture of that early church, how they connected. In fact, they met every single day. And they were taught and they were fed the Word of God. And they loved each other and helped to meet each other's needs. And how that just glorified you, Lord, as a picture of your body that is connected and cared for one another. So I say, Father, help us here to build that type of community, that we would truly care for one another. And so, Lord, help us to be accepting of people when they come into this place. Help us not be afraid to connect with new people continually. Help us to continually invest in relationships, meeting each other, connecting with each other, relating to each other, doing life, serving together. Father, we see, we know that the church is the greatest organization upon the face of the earth. If there's ever an organization that will rise up in the end times, it's your church. And I pray that we would be a part of that great church that rises up. And I believe that you're doing that work right now. So Lord, help us to care for people, love people, invest in relationships with people. Father, we want to say right now, we allow you, Lord, to love and to care for people through us. Love people through us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Help us be those ones that are not afraid to give, Lord, just like you gave. You said, God, in your word, God so loved the world that you gave. And you didn't just love us, but you loved the world. So help us to realize that we can be the agents through whom you operate to love this world into a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed just for a minute. I want to say, maybe you're here right now and you're someone that's heard about Jesus. You might have read about Jesus in the Bible, but you've never personally invited Christ, Jesus, into your heart. And if you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity today. God wants to give you a brand new life, a brand new hope, a brand new future. And when you die and you leave this earth, eternal life in heaven. So if you've never received Christ into your heart and you never surrendered your heart and say, God, come into my life, come into my heart, you can do that today. I'm going to say this prayer. It's a short prayer. It's a simple prayer. But I promise you, it will be the most life-changing prayer you will ever pray. So pray this prayer with all sincerity. Will you repeat these words after me? Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and you shed your blood for my sins. Thank you, Lord. I also believe that you rose from the grave and that you are alive today. So today, Lord Jesus, I surrender and I open up my heart to you, and I invite you into my heart, into my life, to be Savior and Lord, Master of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now I'm going to ask you, if you said that prayer for the very first time, I just want you to raise your hand and just look at me and say, Pastor, I said that prayer. The Bible says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So if you said that prayer, anybody said that prayer, just wave your hand, just wave it to me. Wave at me right now. Thank you, Father. Anyone here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, help us to take this word and to really put it in practice now. Lord, help us not to just drop this word, but to take this word and get connected and get into greater community today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening.